Methodist Church. I'm Reverend Esther Robinson, and I will be your servant today. We especially welcome you. If you are visiting with us today, we'd like to extend an especially warm welcome and hope that you feel like you are a part of us. And I love to speak to you, and others will speak to you as well. We tend to be very good about greeting one another, and we're going to do that in just one moment. We're going to greet one another, but I want to mention before we do that I have something very special here in this scrapbook. This is a scrapbook of our 50th anniversary, done by Nancy Walker. She did it, and it has both the event in January where we had our homecoming event, where we had our returning pastors come and we had a big celebration, and our block party as well is in here. And so I'm going to have this in the back of the sanctuary at the end of the service. If you would like to take it and look at it, not leave the church with it, but take it and look at it here and enjoy seeing it. This will join our other scrapbooks that we'll keep on hand. And it will remind us of what a wonderful celebration we had together. And I hope we can continue to have many of those kinds of celebrations in this sanctuary. This is, you know, it's a beautiful sanctuary, but most of all, you're beautiful people. And I thank God for you every single day. And I'm so glad to be your pastor. Let's greet one another with the peace of Christ.
Good morning. I've got my Energizer bunnies plugged in, and I'm ready to go. I'd like to apologize. My wife is the liturgist for this month, and she was feeling ill this morning, so I'm going to try to fill her shoes. I'm so glad to be here, and so glad to see each and every one of you out there. We've got a few announcements here, so you'll have to bear with me. She reads a lot better than I do, so here we go. Beginning July 8th, you can start bringing in your newly or gently used items that you wish to donate and Karen Carey. This week, the week before July 30th, you may bring in the big stuff. Anything that isn't sold will be disposed of after the sale. So please consider the sellability of the items you want to share. I guess you've found out by now we're talking about the yard sale coming up. The bake sale also will consist of homemade cakes, pies, cookies, cupcakes, brownies, muffins, and candy. There is a sign-up sheet on the bulletin board outside the church office. You will also find directions for packaging, as well as the date and times to bring your delicious creations. If you add nuts, please put a note on the packages in case of allergies. And the committee would like to thank you well in advance for all your donations. And don't forget about the sign-up sheet for the goodies. Also, your quarterly statements is in the back of the church in the bin. If Beth hasn't already hand-delivered them to you, which she's very good about, thank you, Beth. And then we have the finance committee meeting on Tuesday night. If you're part of that team or would like to find out a little bit more about the operations of our church, you're welcome to come out. All right, if you would, open your inserts and get the welcome, the worship. Oh, yeah. Yard sale? The yard sale?
It doesn't start till 2 o'clock. So you're all invited. They want you to RSVP them to tell me, I'll tell them. So you're all invited.
And we do have one more very, very important announcement. Would you please come forward? All of you.
Thank you, Jamie. I know you are wondering what we're wearing or why we're wearing it, but we come from the land of Egypt. And we came from the land of Egypt only to let you know that starting July 18th, we are going to have VBS. It's going to run from 9 until 11:30. These are the committee so far that have helped. We've made costumes. Dee Dee, where are you? Stand up. She's my kitchen helper with her team. And we still need some help. We have two ladies that have graciously going to do two areas. And if you would feel like you want to help, we'd appreciate it. It's games and crafts. And Georgia, of course, is going to do our music. And Lois is the, what should I call you? Okay, she's a game person. the sergeant at arms. Anyways, VBS is our next project that we're very coming up close. Now, the next thing I want to tell you about has nothing to do with Egypt. It has something to do with back to school. We are going to have a style show for children that is back to school outfit. Now, you think, well, I don't have a child. Doesn't matter. You find one. You find one, you buy them a back to school outfit, and you bring them. They will be walking a red carpet. If you find you don't have a child to bring, bring yourself, and you can be the audience, because we will have a red carpet. So when you see the sign that Miss Lois is holding up, that says where you can sign up, out in the hall and at the back door, so that you can sponsor. And that sponsor means that you are responsible for the person and how they're dressed. We have Miss Robin, who isn't here, she is going to be the commentator. So if you want to come out and have some fun and support the children, there's no cost. It's just enjoy the children and give them a good boost off back to school. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Barbara. Now, turn in your bulletins and pull out your insert for our opening words. The world cries to us in its distress. How shall we answer? How shall we answer? How shall we answer?
We shall be
in
service,
reconciliation, and
compassion,
wherever we can, in Jesus' holy name. Amen. If you would stand and look to the screen behind me, we'll sing in moments like these. Turn to 887. 888. We will have our affirmation of faith. This is the good news which we have received, in which we stand, and by which we are saved. Christ died for our sins, was buried, was raised on the third day, and appeared first to the women, then to Peter and the 12, and then to many faithful witnesses. We believe Jesus is the Christ, the anointed one of God, the firstborn of all creation, the firstborn from the dead, in whom all things hold together, in whom the fullness of God was pleased to dwell by the power of the Spirit. Christ is the head of the body, the church, and by the blood of the cross reconciles all things to God. Amen.
Not only Sarah. Sarah feels reinforced and supported with all these people helping out. And what we're going to do today is reenact the story of the Good Samaritan. I know you talked about that in Sunday school, and we're going to talk about that in the sermon, so I need some volunteers. Oh, okay. Let's see. I need a... He's going to be the man that's walking down the road and gets beat up by robbers is Bradley. Okay, Bradley, stand up. Bless you. Wait, Sarah. That's all right. We'll get to it. Okay, now we need a Levite and a priest. You want to be the Levite? Okay, stand up. Who wants to be the priest? John wants to be the priest. Okay. Now, let's see. We need a good Samaritan. Why don't we... Would you like to be the good Samaritan? All right. Excellent. And we're going to enact this story. Did I leave anybody out? I'm going to be the robber. Okay. I'm going to be the one that beats up Bradley. Okay, so everybody, Bradley?
We're not gonna really
no, we're not really going to. You're right, Zachary. We're really not going to. All right, everybody remember who they are? You can sit back down, and when I tell your part, you can get up and go. One day, a man was walking, traveling on the road, and don't let me step on you. I have to get right through here so I can beat up Bradley. Ah, Bradley. There he goes. He's down there, and I go away. I hide. And then along comes a priest. Who's the priest? Other side and ignores me. And who's the lead? Right around the other man. Bradley, keep coming. That's the story. And then a Samaritan comes by, and he helps the man stop and pick him up. There you go. There you go. That's the way to do it. That's the way to do it. Oh, somebody needs to be the donkey. We carry. Somebody needs to be the donkey. Oh, Max will be the donkey. Okay, Max, come in here. And you're going to carry Bradley. You're going to carry Bradley to the hospital. To the hospital. There you go. Thank you, Max, for being our donkey. All right, very good, very good. Now, Jesus asked a question after he told that story. He said, who is the neighbor? Was the priest the neighbor who walked by the man on the road who was wounded? Was he the neighbor? No. How about the Levite who walked also right by the man on the road? He didn't stop to help, and he wasn't the neighbor either. But who was? It was the Samaritan. He was the man who stopped and helped him. And that was the neighbor. And that's who Jesus says is our neighbor, someone we might least expect to help out. And that was the Samaritan. Let's bow our heads and have a prayer. We thank you, O God, that you give us people in our lives that are our neighbors. Help us to receive the gift that they give us, but more importantly, that we receive the gift you give us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now you may have candy. welcome. Get one piece. There you go. You're welcome. Pick one. All right. You ready to go? We continue to worship and serve God this morning with the giving of our gifts, our tithes, and our offerings. I invite the ushers to come forward and wait on us now. Let us pray. Gracious God, you are the author of every good and perfect gift, and we come to you in thanksgiving and praise because of the blessings we receive from you. Help us to live lives full of gratitude and peace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Oh,
Beautiful. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. That's one of my favorite hymns of all time, and that was a beautiful version. Thank you. I want us to be in prayer this morning for the family of Johnita Hoffman, who passed away yesterday morning. She has been sick for quite some time and is now at rest and at peace with her Lord and Savior. But we need to remember her and her family in our prayers today. There's something else I want you to be in prayer about, too, and lest you think we live in a bubble here, and sometimes we can convince ourselves that we will be untouched by things going on around us. There is a colleague of mine who is pastor at Grace United Methodist Church in Venice, Florida, and she wrote a pastoral letter to her congregation on Facebook because they were expecting members of the Westboro Baptist Church. Everybody remember who they are? They're the ones that protest at military funerals and do awful things like that. Well, they were going to protest at my friend's church, demonstrate in front of the church because of she being a woman pastor. That's the reason. That's the reason why they were there. And it was this morning that it was to take place. I don't know what has transpired, but she writes in her letter that they will try and welcome members of that church, but they will still stand firm in their beliefs of grace and non-judgmentalism as a congregation and try to be a witness for Christ to them, to the Westboro members who are there to demonstrate. So I ask that you are in prayer for that congregation, for its leaders, and for the pastor of that church. And I will try and find out what has happened and let you know when we meet again. Let's bow our heads and go to God in prayer. Today we pray, O God, for the brokenhearted, for those who mourn, for parents whose hopes for their children go unrealized, for those who risk their life for the protection of others, for those who are subject to racism and hatred of any kind, for communities shattered, for those who see no other way than hate and vengeance, for the communities all around the world who've been facing evil like this on a daily basis. For the communities in which life is lost and the news doesn't care. For those who are caring for victims, we pray. Lord, hear our prayer. For the ways we added to hatred rather than standing against it. For the ways we have let evil win. For not sharing the hope of the world, for being focused instead on our own problems, for not standing for justice, for not sharing the love of Christ with all, and just for turning off the news because it is just too much, we repent, dear God. Forgive us, Lord, and create within us a right spirit and equip us to go forth in your love. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Let us never forget that we have hope in you, no matter what we face. Let us never forget that love conquers hate. Let us never forget that light drives out the darkness. And let us never forget that we are not alone in this pain. You walk with us. Walk with those today, dear God, who need you. And we pray for the peace and love of God to rule in our hearts and minds as we remember the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven. hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
If you would stand and look at the screen behind me. We'll sing, Lord, reign in me.
If you'd like to turn in your Bible, it's Luke 10, verses 25 through 37, or if you prefer, you can read it from the screen. It's the parable of the Good Samaritan. I believe we heard a little bit about that just a few minutes ago from the children. Just then, a lawyer stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? He said to him, what is written in the law? What do you read there? He answered, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, you have given the right answer. Do this and you shall live. But wanting to justify himself, he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Jesus replied, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers, who stripped him, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Now, by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came near him, and when he saw him, he was moved with pity. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, having poured oil and wine on them. Then he put him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii, gave it to the innkeeper, and said, 'Take care of him, and when I come back, I will repay you whatever more you spend.' Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers?" He said, "The one who showed him mercy." Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." These are the words of God for the people of God.
The lawyer asked Jesus, "Who is my neighbor?" What he wanted to know was, what are the legal and ethical boundaries on my charity? Who do I have to care about, Jesus? Who does God expect me to help when I see them in trouble? But Jesus turns the lawyer's question upside down with the story that we now call the Good Samaritan. Instead of, "Who am I required to help?" Jesus answers with a story that says, God's help and love for you will often come from unexpected and sometimes unwelcome sources. Now, you have to understand how Samaritans were viewed in first century Palestine. To everybody that was listening to Jesus' story, a Samaritan was an enemy, someone who was hated, an apostate, a heretic, a worshiper of the wrong God, an unclean person. Someone they would just as soon spit on as welcome into their homes. That's how they felt about Samaritans, how we might feel of members of the Westboro Baptist Church, how we might feel and do feel about radical Islamists, how we might feel and do feel about, say, a transgender woman. And this hated, evil, and despised person is the hero of Jesus' story. Instead of telling the lawyer who he had to help, Jesus shook things up by telling him that his true neighbor, the one who would help him, could be the person he least expected. This is who God uses to show God's love. Not in the ways of the world, of course, but actually showing love and mercy on the wounded man. The story goes beyond our relationships with each other and who we consider in and who we consider out. The story goes beyond that, beyond who we are, to help and from whom we can expect help. It moves past all of that into our relationship with God. Now, of course, in the story, the man in the ditch had acted foolishly by traveling alone on this dangerous road from Jerusalem to Jericho. By all intents and purposes, he did not deserve help. And if he could have chosen who was helping him, he would have chosen either the priest or the Levite who had a duty to help him. But that's not who helped him. He was helped by a Samaritan who did help him willingly and freely, generously, lovingly, without judgment or expectation of payback. So, my friends, you and I are the person in the ditch. And God is the Good Samaritan. Deep, deep down, if we're honest, most of us don't want God's handout. We don't want God's generous offer. We want instead to deserve it. We want to earn it. We think we can. But the truth is, we can't. We really can't. We are the one in the ditch. We are the wounded and foolish one, the one helpless and in need of help and healing. If you recall the question, who is my neighbor? It's really the second question the lawyer posed. The first, do you remember the first question? What must I do? What must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus responded by pointing him to the scriptures, and the man gave the right answer. He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your strength, your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus says, yes. That's it. You've got it. But then the lawyer falls into the ditch. See, he didn't blink an eye at the idea of devoting his entire existence to loving God. Isn't that what all your heart and soul and mind and strength implies? Total and complete commitment? If you give over all of that to God, there's not much room left for TV, for baseball, or dating, or gardening, but apparently the lawyer was okay with that. My all for God, that was okay with him. It's the neighbor business that bothers the lawyer. Perhaps this is because it's easier to get caught not loving your neighbor than it is to get caught not loving God. It's pretty obvious to everyone if you fail to feed the hungry or clothe the naked. But who's going to notice if you don't pray or read your Bible enough? The man is guilty of the twin sins of pride and ingratitude. He believes he is capable of pleasing God through his own actions. And he is therefore not grateful to God for God's love and grace. He does not admit either his own brokenness or God's action to save him. So he has the audacity to raise the question, about whom am I required to love? Who is my neighbor? But if you get part one, God has loved me so much and so freely that all I can do is love him in return, then part two, the way to show my love to God is to love everybody else the way God has loved me, comes naturally. Part two follows part one. So the answer to the question, what must I do to inherit eternal life, is absolutely nothing. You must do nothing. God has given it to you freely. And God is calling us today to live in that love, to reach out to others with that love, and to be that love in the world for the sake of Jesus Christ, who gave his all, his life, for us. Amen and amen. Yes, ma'am.
I'm going on a month's trip to Wisconsin.
Uh-huh.
And I'm asking the congregation to pray for me for traveling mercies.
Okay. Mary wants to be prayed for traveling mercies.
Amen.
We will do that and then sing our last hymn. How's that? All right. Let's bow our heads. Mary, do you want to come up here?
No.
No? Okay.
No, yes.
Okay, just hang on to the rail. Let's pray. Loving and gracious God, we do come to you in prayer to thank you for your tender mercies in our lives. We pray your blessing this morning upon Mary, especially the trip that she is going to undertake, that she may receive a blessing from you in safe travels and safe journeys, that she gets there safely and returns home to us safely. She is one of us, and we love her, and we know that you love her, and that you will be with her and give her everything that she needs. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, let me walk you back. Okay? Let me walk you back. All right. No, you're not. Okay.
And if you would stand and turn to number 706 in your hymnals, we'll sing soon and very soon.
Congregation. We sing and we clap and we move in rhythm to the beat, and that heartbeat which connects us, I think, is the love of God. And the love of God needs to be the center of everything that we do and everything that we are. We serve God and we share love. And that's what we are called to do and sent to do in this world. And remember that there are those who need us and need what we can give them. And I'm going to ask John to come on up. There we go. That's all right. Come on up. And I'll pronounce the benediction. May the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the love of God, our heavenly Creator, the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with you now and always. Go in His peace.